Turn again to that chapter that we read earlier, Acts chapter 4. Just for a few moments at the end of the service today, I want to draw your attention to the subject, the encouragement of godly company. The encouragement of godly company. And I want to base my remarks on verse 23, the first phrase there that's found in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. And being let go, they went to their own company. And being let go, they went to their own company. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help again as we come to consider God's word today. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the company of God's people, for godly company. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word today that is before us. And we pray, Lord, as we turn to the sacred page, that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. We thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee for thy mercies to us that were found in God's house today among the redeemed of God. And Lord, we pray for those in our congregation this afternoon who are still not saved, that you would save them and redeem them by your precious blood. And O God, that they would enter into the company of the redeemed. That they would be saved today for time and for eternity. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage your own saints this Lord's day. And O God, we know that as we look around us in this old world, there's not much to encourage us. But we thank the Lord that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. And we thank the Lord for the encouragement it is to come into God's house among the redeemed, worship thee in spirit and in truth. O God, come and bless us today. We ask thee, O God, that we might hear that still small voice of God speaking to our hearts, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In our last study in the book of Acts, we considered Peter and John's reaction to the opposition that they received from the Jewish authorities because of their stand for Christ. If you were here last Sunday night, you will know that we noticed three things: their boldness in the midst of this opposition, their wisdom in the midst of this opposition, and their determination in the midst of this opposition. Today we want to take up our studies where we left off last Sunday evening. After the apostles were threatened by the council and commanded not to preach nor teach in the name of Jesus, the Bible tells us that Peter and John were released. And after they were released, they went into their own company. That's what the Bible tells us there in verse 23, the words of our text. Look at it again, underline the verse in your Bible. And being let go, they went to their own company. In other words, Peter and John went into the fellowship of God's people. And it was there in the midst of God's people that Peter and John reported how that the Lord had kept his hand on them in the midst of great opposition. And in the company of God's people, the apostles praised and thanked the Lord for all his goodness towards them. Men and women, child of God, there is no company like the company of God's people. And what a blessing it is for you and I to be able to meet together as a band of believers and have fellowship with each other around the precious word of God. There are many of God's people this Lord's day, and they haven't this privilege. Because of persecution, because of imprisonment for their faith, they can't meet in a congregation like this and have fellowship with the people of God. How we need to pray for such today who are under persecution that way. And yet, you and I in this country, in this land, we have the privilege of coming and meeting like this, none daring to make us afraid. What a blessing. What an encouragement it is when God's people meet together around the precious word of God. Today, very simply, as we look at this subject, the blessing or the encouragement of godly company, there's a number of things, very simply, that I want you to notice from this passage of Scripture. The message in the main is to God's people, but again, I pray that the Lord will take His word and write it upon all of our hearts, but especially to the saints of God. I pray that the Lord will come and speak to our hearts particularly. And even today, that He would write His word upon our souls. What do we notice here? What do we learn here? First of all, I want you to notice that godly company is a place where God's servants will have a sympathetic ear. Take a look at what it says in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company, that's Peter and John, and reported, now underline those words, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Peter and John, of course, had come under a great attack from the ungodly council of men. We found that out last week. No doubt they were feeling the heat of the battle. The whole world seemed to have turned against them. But where were they going to get a sympathetic ear in the midst of this persecution? Well, of course, the answer was simple. They were going to get a sympathetic ear in the company of God's people. And that's exactly what happened. Peter and John reported to the church what the council had demanded of them, how that the council had commanded them to stop preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God's people heard how Peter and John had suffered for the cause of Christ, they supported the decision that the two apostles took to preach the gospel no matter what the cost. Again, we emphasized last week that after the council forbid them to preach in the name of Jesus, Peter and John told the council that they were not going to stop preaching, that they had to continue to be faithful to God and to preach the message of the gospel. And when Peter and John went back to their own company, to the company of God's people, and reported what the council had demanded of them and told the believers that they were going to continue to preach the gospel come what may, these believers were sympathetic to the servants of God and they supported them in that decision. The saints of God were ready and willing to listen and to support Peter and John. My, what an encouragement this must have been to God's servants. You know, child of God, there is much opposition today to the preaching of the gospel. And even in this land in which we live, if there's an age when God's people therefore need to stand together for the cause of Christ, it is this age in which we live. The devil's purpose today is to divide the people of God so that the work of God can be weakened. And of course, that's the object and purpose of hell. You know, but as God's people, we need to encourage one another in the Lord in these days. We have seen already in the book of Acts the great unity that there was among the people of God. And here in Acts chapter 4, we can see that unity again. Look again at verse 24 and look what it says. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. When Peter and John went back to their own company and reported all that had taken place, the believers unitedly encouraged God's servants. And I'll say more about unity just in a moment. But child of God, if there's a day when God's servants need encouragement, it is this 21st century in which we live. We need to stand together. We need to encourage one another in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, we read these words. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's writing to the church, and he's writing to a company of believers. And this is what he says. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, serving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. In other words, God's people need to stand together and encourage one another in the Lord. Oh, I pray in these days in which we live that we will be united and that we will go forward together preaching Christ, none daring to make us afraid. Prior to the second coming of Christ, there's going to be, I believe, great persecution of the Church of Jesus Christ. We can see that in many places in the world even today. But even in our own little land of Ulster, we can see that the enemies of the gospel are seeking in these days to hinder the work of God. Now, they always sought to hinder the work of God, but they seem to be more brazen today. But you know, child of God, isn't it wonderful that you and I can come and meet together? We can get into the company of God's people, and we can encourage one another in the Lord. And yet, there were times in Paul's ministry, the Apostle Paul's ministry, when he found himself standing alone for the cause of Christ, and when God's people were not sympathetic towards him. Indeed, they give him no encouragement at all. I want you just to turn over, keep your hand in Acts chapter 4. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 for a moment, and you'll read these words. Here we have Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's writing to young Timothy, but it's interesting to note what he says here, what Paul says here. And I pray that you and I will never be in this position, that the servants of Christ today will never find themselves in this position. Look what Paul said there in verse 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy 4. At my first answer, no man stood with me. Here we have the Apostle Paul standing for the cause of Christ, preaching the gospel. And yet he says, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray, God, that it may not be led to their charge. Speaking about the Church of Christ here, speaking about the people of God. But look what he says in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Oh, child of God, make sure that you are an encourager and not a discourager of the servants of God. Peter and John, after they were persecuted, after they were imprisoned, after they were threatened, after they were told not to preach again in the name of Jesus, the Bible tells us here that they went back to their own company, back in among the people of God, and there they were encouraged. There they received a sympathetic ear, and that encouragement, I believe, was a source of strength for Peter and John as they continued to witness for Christ, because they knew that they were not standing alone, but that there were others with them. Oh, I pray in these days that we might indeed encourage ourselves in the Lord. Godly company is a place where God's servants should find, a sympathetic ear. But take a look with me again at verse 24. And I want you to notice something else here in Acts chapter 2. I want you to notice, secondly, that godly company is a place where God's people will pray for one another. Look what it says here in verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is. Now look at verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now from verse 24 down to verse 29, and we didn't read all the verses, but we'll be just mentioning them now very quickly. What we have here is a prayer meeting. When Peter and John went back to their own company, God's people started to pray for them. Now, I want you to notice four things about their prayer. Now, I'm not going to labor these points. I'm just going to mention them. In verse 24, they prayed immediately. Immediately, John and Peter went back into the company of God's people. The first thing that God's people did was to pray. To pray. They prayed immediately. And they prayed particularly in verse 29 and verse 30, because they prayed particularly for God's servants that the Lord would give them boldness to speak the word of God. That's what it says in the end of verse 29, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They prayed that God would bless his servants as they preached the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you'll notice also in verse 24 that they prayed fervently, because it says there that they lifted up their voice. And that indicates that they were earnest in their praying, that they were fervent in their praying. And of course, we all know that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you'll notice also, if you take a look at verse 25, that they were submissive in their praying. They prayed submissively. In other words, they prayed recognizing the sovereignty of God. This prayer is a quotation from Psalm 2. Look what it says in verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And so on. So you can see here that there's great earnestness in their praying. They're praying according to the will of God. They want to see God's work advanced. But you know, the point that I want to make here, and it's a very simple point, and it's this. God's people are praying for one another, and they're praying together. They're praying for Peter and John. They're praying for the good of the work of God. They're praying because they want to see God's work advance as the word of God is preached and declared. You know, child of God, and there's a message, a word in season here for you and I. We need to pray together, and we need to meet together to pray for one another. That's what we have here in Acts chapter 4. You see, we need the company and the fellowship of the redeemed of God. The Christians in the book of Acts were a praying people, and they prayed together. Now, this may seem a very small and insignificant point, but it's not. And let me tell you why. Because many of God's people today neglect to meet with the rest of God's people in the place of prayer. One of the great strengths of the early church was that they continually came together to pray. They came together to pray. And this was an encouragement to the saints of God. And it certainly was an encouragement to Peter and John. Not only were Peter and John encouraged when they received a sympathetic ear, when God's people supported them in the decision that they had made to keep on preaching despite the threatenings of men, but they were also encouraged when they entered into the company of God's people, because God's people took them upon their heart and began to pray for them. And if there's a day and age when the church of Jesus Christ needs to pray for the preacher, needs to pray for their minister, needs to pray for the missionaries, needs to pray for the servants of God, then it is this day and age in which we live. For there's much opposition against the proclamation of truth. As I said there, this was one of the great characteristics of the early church. You needn't turn to the verses, but Acts 1 verse 14, we have already noted that verse. It says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That was before the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Acts 12 verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. This week we're going to have a week of prayer. And it's one of the most important weeks in the history of our church. If we don't pray, God will not bless. And we'll see that in a moment. We need to pray. But we need to pray together. You say to me, but I pray for you every day, and that's good. Now, I know it's not possible for everyone to get to the prayer meetings every week. And there are different reasons for that. But child of God, when we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4, we see here that God's people are meeting together. And we can see here that Peter and John, after their release from the council, the first thing they do, they run to the prayer meeting. They run to the company of God's people. Paul, the apostle, continually desired the prayers of God's people. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Listen to these words, verse 1 and 2. Paul says this, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." You see, the prayer meeting is the place of strength for the child of God. It is a place of encouragement for the servants of God. God's people meeting for prayer is vital in the Christian's walk with God and in the history of the church. Down through the history of the church, when God's people have met for prayer, the Lord is blessed, and we're going to say more about that in a moment. We're all familiar with those words in Isaiah 40. Let me just read them to you. Let me remind you of them again. Verse 28 to 31. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall." But, and you can quote the verse, couldn't you? "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So important for God's people to get into the company of others of God's people to pray together. You say to me, but I have young children to look after. Well, that may be the case. But let me encourage you. You let him look after the children some night this week. And you, mother, come to the prayer meeting. And then the next night, the mother can look after the children. But don't make the children an excuse. Don't make the children an excuse for you never coming to the place of prayer. And don't make milking cows an excuse for never coming to the place of prayer. And never let your business be an excuse for never coming to the place of prayer. Peter and John here, as soon as they were threatened, and as soon as they were released, they went to their own company. They went to their own company. Why? Because they needed fellowship of God's people. And they needed encouragement. And child of God, we all need encouragement in these days. It was there. They had a sympathetic ear. It was there where they prayed together and where they were strengthened in the work of the Lord. Now, take a look at verse 31. I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice, thirdly, that godly company is a place where God's power will be demonstrated. Now, what an encouragement this must have been to Peter and John after the attack of hell. Look at verse 31. "And when they had prayed," after the prayer meeting, in other words, "the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. Why did God's power fall upon his people at this time? Well, because there was prayer and because there was unity. And we've already mentioned both. Unity of purpose, but also notice that there was unity of doctrine. Look at verse 33. And with great power give the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can see here that it was in the company of God's people that God's power fell among the church. Child of God, the blessing of God will always fall upon the church when the church is united in prayer together. And let us therefore continue to pray for unity among God's people in Bethel. God in his holy word exhorts us to strive after unity in the body of Christ. I want you to turn over just for a moment to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to look with me at the first 6 verses of Ephesians chapter 4. Here we have the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says to God's people. He says this in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now look at verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You see, the truth is this, that when there is unity among God's people, there will be blessing. And that's what we're seeing here in Acts chapter 4. And that's what the Apostle Paul is seeking to teach in Ephesians chapter 4 as well. We're all familiar with Psalm 133. Let me read you. It's a very short psalm. But it says this, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, listen to it and underline it, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forever. More, even life forevermore. You see, down throughout the history of the church, there's always been those who have sought to disrupt the unity of the Spirit in the body of Christ. But the Lord here in Ephesians 4, and indeed in Psalm 133, is emphasizing and exhorting the importance of unity. And when there is unity, especially in the place of prayer among God's saints, then there will be blessing. And you and I must endeavor. That word endeavor in Ephesians 4, it means to make speed or to hasten. We are to hasten. We are to make speed. We are to endeavor at all times to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Therefore, as soon as we detect that the unity in the church is being threatened, we are to do all in our power to make sure that the unity is kept, even if that means rebuking those that are near and dear to us. Oh, you can see here how Peter and John were encouraged when they went into the company of God's people, when they went into their own company among the saints of God. Because it was there. Not only did they receive a sympathetic ear, and that encouraged them. Not only did they hear God's servants praying for them, and that encouraged them. But then the power of God fell among them. The power of God fell among them. And they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. And the Lord began again to bless his word as it went forth. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Child of God, Are you able and fit to get to the prayer meeting? Now, if you're not, then that's fair enough. If you're not able and fit, that's between you and God. But are you able? Are you able to come and sit in God's house for 1 hour and pray? Then you should be at the prayer meeting. You're missing out. Your own soul is missing out with God. Your own soul. Your own Christian life is missing out with God. It is. There's no doubt about that. Because God commands us to meet together, to pray together, to be united together, and to go forward together. Because there, God commands the blessing. There, God commands the blessing. When they were let go, they went immediately to their own company. To their own company. Let's all pray.